Hi, this is Jackson from the D Rangers, and you're watching Tell the Band to Go. You're watching. Hi, this is Jackson Aldane from the D Rangers, and you're listening to Tell the Band to Go Home on. What is it? Is it
101.5?
That's what I thought. I almost said CK, you tell me. Hi, this is Jackson Aldane, and you're listening to Tell the Band to Go Home on UMFM 101.5.
It's been a little more hectic than I expected. I've been a little more stressed than I can express. I've been a little more hectic than I expected. I got more demands on my time than I got time for. Got me a tree. Work slab on grade. Get wild on the weekend within the confines of the law. I feel like a slave 10 hours a day. I work more hours for my agent than my great grandpa. Got me a shack in a modest part of town. Saved up every dollar just to put the down payment down. Water heater's busted for like a couple of years. You get used to cold showers when you're always over 90 in kids, God bless them, they're stuck in a system. Since the crackhead mom got in some trouble with the law. I got a record for possession and a battle with depression. I've been deemed unfit by the state to even be their paw. It's been a little more. I've been a little more stressed than I think I can express. It's been a little more hectic than I expected. I got more demons on my time. I got more demons on my time. I got more demons on my time than I got time for.
Yes, indeed. That's a perfect summation of my life. I got everything feels hectic. I got demons. Man, I can relate. And welcome everybody. It is Tell the Band to Go Home, UMFM's weekly singer-songwriter show. My name's Jeff. But today it's a super show. It's a special super edition of Tell the Band to Go Home. It is UMFM's Pledge-O-Rama, and we need your support. And when I say need, I mean need your support to help us to get to our goal. It's we're coming along. The board says 11,300, which isn't bad. You know, it's okay. It's a nice start. But it could be a lot better. And that's why we're hoping that you will help us to push that goal up. We got to raise $32,000. We need a new transmitter, or else we're in a whole lot of hurt. And only you, friends, can help us to get there. So please do give us a call with your support, 204-474-6610. You can always go to the UMFM website, umfm.com, and click on the donate link and make your pledge online. If you really want to chat with me, 204-269-8636, 269-UMFM. We can do it in here. I'm fine with that. It's okay. Or you can email me, jeff@telemandigohome.com, and let me know that you want to pledge, and we'll make it happen. We'll make it work. All right? And we do need your support and your help and your love, and this is the time when you get to show us that what we do matters to you, and I sure hope it does. It matters a whole heck of a lot to me and a lot of people as well. And one guy who thinks that we matter is the guy we started off that show with. That was Jackson Haldane, title track to his fabulous new record, Hectic. And Jackson is such a wonderful man. He's willing to come down here and play us some songs and chat a bit about why campus and community radio matters to him and his band and the community that he wants to be a part of. So we'll hopefully hear from him soon. I'm a little afraid after hearing that that little station ID off the top. I know it was years ago that that was recorded, but I'm hoping that he doesn't think we're on CKUW because that's what he wanted to say in there. So hopefully he knows which station now. I'm pretty sure that he's good with it. So, you know, I'll keep looking out the window and hoping I see him. But if you see him wandering around at the University of Winnipeg, give him a ride down here. He's a little lost. But speaking of which, you can come down here as well. Third floor, University Center at the University of Manitoba. It's kind of one of those gray days. You don't really want to be doing too much, just sitting around. But it is definitely worth coming down here. We have a lot of fun. We got tons of food and beverages and fun people out there. We got Gail and John and Jared and all kinds of other folks. Skippy's out there. Man, oh, man. It is a good time out in the old lobby there. So if you're so inclined, if you're not doing anything, come on by. Third floor, University Center, University of Manitoba, and hang out with us and have some fun. You can make your pledge in person if you so wish. In the meantime, here's what I want to play for you. I want to play one more thing from Jackson. Last year on the Steel Belted Radio Pledgerama show, we had the world premiere of the brand new recording by the Derangers called Barbaric Cultural Practices. Still one of the best album names ever, I'm convinced. This year, we're hoping to have them in here live, but I thought we'd go back to that recording. It is such a great thing, and it includes this song right here that the Derangers have been doing, and it's a representation of one of the reasons why I love Jackson Haldane so much. He's the figurehead behind a thing called the Willie P. Bennett Legacy Project, which aims to keep the music and the spirit of the great Willie P. Bennett alive. And he has collected all kinds of great recordings. You can go to williepelegacy.com and see them. And this is one of those, and it is such a wonderful and special thing. And it's part of a new compilation that we've put together this year, which I'll tell you about in just a bit. But let's dive into a little bit of music, kick it off with those Derangers, and invite you to call us, 204-474-6610. We do need to hear from you.
Well, I miss my baby and I don't know what to do. She was good to me and all my friends too. She used to come to me first, say her love was true. And it made me blue, made me blue. Start out clean.
Those are the Mighty Mighty D-Rangers off that aforementioned project called Barbaric Cultural Practices, with a great Willie P. Bennett classic called Trying to Start Out Clean. And we are blessed to have Jackson. Did you find one, Jackson? I just remembered that this summer I got a nice CKUA pick, and I put it in my wallet, but it appears to not be there anymore, so I don't know what's going on. But welcome, Jackson Haldane, man of the world. You just got back from Europe and all places in between.
I did.
And man, oh man, in between all the travels that you've been having with Gordy Tendries and all the, I mean, are you still getting settled in, I guess, here in Winnipeg?
That's kind of my reality for sure.
Yeah.
It's been so hectic ever since I moved here.
Yeah.
You know, getting settled, buying a house, hitting the road. I think I had just enough time to, you know, get the house ready for my family to live in while I left them alone for 4 weeks.
Oh yeah.
And then, yeah, so it's been really good, but like I couldn't handle a pace any faster than it's been for the last few months. So yeah, I'm at my sort of maximum operating capacity, but it's going well. So
What brought you back to Winnipeg? I mean, last time we talked on the show, you were in Oklahoma and doing well, and you had a band down there, and you finished school and all kinds of stuff, and now here you are back in Winnipeg.
Well, I guess, you know, as a family, we never really said that we were moving away forever. We said we were taking an opportunity to go and maybe like diversify our skill sets and have a new experience. And I think after 5 years and both of us having a breakthrough with education and more opportunities now to earn a living, we decided that we were just there. So the reasons for hanging on were just in Oklahoma would have just been purely because it was convenient. And then at a certain juncture, my wife hit a snag and she couldn't continue on her career track down there because of immigration hiccups. So that sort of became okay. This is the moment. We're going back. It's
really?
Now.
Nice.
Yeah, and that didn't come as a really, you know. I mean, it's difficult to move no matter what,
yes.
Right? Like it's just hard. But the bigger of a family you have, the more established you are, the more challenging it becomes. But other than just the obvious sort of pains of moving, it wasn't really that challenging of a move because we were coming somewhere that was totally familiar where we felt, for the most part, you know, really right at home already.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's always tough, but it hasn't been really arduous or painful. So.
Yeah. But no hesitation, no feeling of, you know, I was just getting things going down there on the American scene. And was it hard to leave any of that behind? Or
definitely hard to leave some of the people and some of the projects behind.
Yeah.
But those people are still there.
And you can still travel.
I can always travel. And my connections, I felt maybe had it happened maybe a couple of years earlier before I'd cemented some of the relationships that I was making down there, I'd probably have felt a little more regret about leaving.
Right.
But it was something about the time. I just finished making that record, the Hectic record that still hasn't even really been released. And I sort of really felt tight with my smaller little group of musicians down there. And I thought, I can leave and come back to this and still have these relationships. These aren't going to dwindle in my absence. So I think that made it a little easier. Yeah. I felt like I just really sort of set some roots that were stable, and I can walk away and things won't fall down on me while I'm away. Yeah.
And well, the best news for us, I mean, there's lots of good news in this. It is so good to have you back in town. You're just one of those guys that so many people kind of turn to and can count on and love having around. Your absence was definitely noticed in the community. I don't know if anybody's really told you that, but I know that a lot of people would automatically turn to you, and not having you around was kind of hard for some people, but it's good to have you back here for sure.
I've definitely felt a real you know, from certain people in particular, like, okay, you're back, we can move on again.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why in the world would you be waiting? but it's, I guess, I don't know. I've got energy and I love fostering community, you know, that part of my life I did put on hold a little bit down there because it wasn't as tied in. And, and so coming home to some of these new horizons are it's great. It feels really wonderful, actually. Yes. And I do feel a little bit of what you're talking about, for sure.
And the best news that I was alluding to is the return of the D-Rangers. You guys are a band again. You're not just the thing that happens when the planets align. You guys are back.
We're back. And that is probably musically the best thing that instantly comes about from me coming back. It's such a rewarding thing to play music with those guys. We put our time in and there's always chemistry. But it's interesting. The coolest thing about it is that everyone has grown a little on their own and now brings something to the back to the band that's just it's like we haven't lost a step even though we've barely played.
Well, that's the thing. I've had some good conversations with a couple of D-Rangers in the past while and they all kind of said, you know what, we were going so hard as a band. And we were kind of, a lot of people were kind of done with it. Like they were just kind of burnt out with the D-Rangers. And as much as we loved it and you were still sounding good, there was some people who wouldn't have minded taking a bit of a break from the road and some of the stuff that you guys have been doing so hard. And now that you guys are playing together again, everybody says like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Like you guys are a better band. Everybody seems super happy that this is happening. And it sounds like you guys are doing it a lot smarter now. You're not going to be the full-time, full-on project that you were for a while. You're just going to do it smart and do it well and make sure you have lives as well.
Yes, we're going to run it. It's not going to run us. And that's the big difference. It took walking away from the band for me to be able to look at my future and maybe, you know, carve out some new aspects of my life. Without stepping away from it, it was this constant, like, got to keep it going, got to keep it working, got to keep everyone with a paycheck and got to keep everyone, you know, busy and committed. And so that was a stress that once it went away, I could really, like, look at things anew. And now returning to it, we can completely do it on our own terms.
Yeah,
we don't have to let we don't have to let it run us. So it's not going to happen this time around.
And I know you're obviously the support in Winnipeg was never going to die. I'm sure you knew that coming back to Winnipeg, people would still pack the Times Changed or wherever you played. But you've got an Alberta tour coming up and stuff as well. And so did you find out that? Were you surprised that there was still anybody who even remembered the D-Rangers or cared, in other places?
Yeah, it's always.
Maybe it's hard to say because you haven't been there yet.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe nobody will show up.
Like, yeah, we haven't sold a ticket yet, so let's just see. But I think that it's always a surprise when you take that much time off of something that anyone remembers you. But I guess if there was one market anywhere in the world where we thought we'd have a chance to still make a go at it is Alberta. Cause we did put a lot of time in that province and, they were really good to us. You know, that CKUA, factor is quite a powerful influence on the culture at large over there. And, it really helps a lot of musicians out and it's not much different than that this radio station plays, in conjunction with the other in the city. And it's an important part of what shapes a culture and that's been good for Alberta and it's been, you know, what you guys do has been critical for Winnipeg.
Now, when did you start in bands? Like, was Off the Wagon your first thing or what was your, like, when did you start in the music community?
I mean, Off the Wagon was my first, was definitely my first go at this like alt country roots, whatever became Americana thing. But I was in punk bands from about 16.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, my first gigs, I live in Kenora, and my first gigs were at the Alternative Cabaret and the Albert. And, so that was where I got my first taste of the stage.
Yeah.
But Off the Wagon was my first real serious Winnipeg band. As a side note, I was in a, like, surf sort of rock band with Aaron Goss and Mama Bauer and Chris Frere on bass.
What was that called?
It was called Woodcock.
Woodcock. How have I never heard about this before?
We made one recording that fell into obscurity. I personally believe that Chris Frayer just erased it in a fit of rage. No one knows where those recordings were. It was really fun. That was actually my first band as a Winnipegger, and then Off the Wagon came shortly after that.
Yeah. Okay, my question was going to be, though, do you go far enough back to know what the community was like before UMFM and CKW started up?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because we were already, I believe the Derangers had already formed maybe even when the radio station, because it was like, was in within months of each other.
Yeah.
One starting anew and one sort of rebroadcasting, right?
Right.
And yeah, there'd been a total void. And as growing up as a teenager, I kind of thought, like, doesn't every college have a college radio station? And when I got on the scene originally here in Winnipeg, I was like, why is that so sorely missed? And people would talk about was it CKW that ran way back in the day?
Well, I mean, they always ran on campus. They've run on campus for like 55 years or something. Right. But we broadcast in the 70s.
That's what it was. So yeah. I heard about that, how like, yeah, people just outside the city limits could listen to community radio.
And, yeah, it's where like Howard Manshine got his start and exactly. All kinds of people, Andy Frost and all kinds of great broadcasters started here. So was there a noticeable difference in the gigs or the audience or the community that you can pinpoint, like when this avenue started?
I definitely would say that at that time a lot of things began to change, and I don't know, you know, obviously the broadcasting and the access to more of the scene that the radio stations created helped that. I don't know what I think there was almost a convergence of a venue, sort of venues exploded at the same time that the radio stations started. And there was this whole cultural transition that was happening where all these rock people were starting to get a little bit feeling like they'd sort of run out of room and were trying to find a new way to express themselves musically through these older forms like rockabilly or country or whatever it was. This whole alt country thing at the time started to happen, and all those things seemed to sort of happen at the same time. And it's hard for me to pinpoint what the major force, you know, which maybe was more important than any other, but those three things happening at the same time completely changed this city. And all of a sudden there was just this vibrant, you know, scene that hadn't existed before, you know, like bands playing the Albert that had acoustic guitars and banjos. Yeah, and it was like, and that whole thing sort of started to happen at the same time. But I think I was maybe a little too young when there was that total void of college radio in this town to really make discernibly tell you how I see that change. But I definitely know that right around the same time as that happened, my life musically changed drastically. Yeah. But that, you know, it's just hard to say.
But you can certainly see how, especially someone starting out, you know, you can go and play all these clubs and you're gonna play to the same sort of people. But being able to come here and play songs and never know who's listening, you're gonna reach a lot of people who you never would. Every year for our Pledge-O-Rama, we put together this little transmission CD of people who've come in to record over the course of the year, and that gets people a lot of great exposure as well. We promote shows and present shows throughout the year, so I believe that we do a huge thing as far as helping that community to grow and matching up great musicians like yourself with, I know there are so many people out there who love this music, but they wouldn't know necessarily where to find it without us. So hopefully that's worthwhile, and that's why we're here today. We're looking for a little support, little love. 204-474-6610. I haven't heard that phone ring in a while. I don't know about you, Jackson, but
What's going on?
I'm thinking maybe people are waiting for us to stop talking or something. Maybe they need you to play a song. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the thing that'll, you know, cause them to pick up the phone.
I'm going to think of a wallet lubricating song, and I'm going to play it for the audience.
204-474-6610. This is our good friend Jackson Haldane of the Derangers, live on UMFM. Thank you.
and all my eyes can see is love and lust, loneliness, more dark times for me. I'm thinking about Houston. I'm thinking about Spain. Thinking maybe someplace else is bound to ease my brain. But I'd spend a lot of money and it would all turn out the same. More love and lust, loneliness, dark times here to stay. Just like cocaine. You're warm for 20 minutes, then I'm chasing you for days. Love and lust, loneliness can pull apart your soul, push you in directions you ought and ought to go. I'm looking down times for me, just love and lust, loneliness, more dark times for me.
Where the hell's Carrie Latimer when you need her?
Oh, no kidding. Oh, we always need her.
I can hear her voice in my head, though, so I feel okay. I love that. Oh, that's so good. That's a certified Derangers classic
exactly.
Right there.
Exactly. Yeah, all that Derangers talk, I figured I'd do something.
that's good stuff. So the Derangers, just while we're on the subject, I have heard that there might be even recordings coming. Is that true?
Nothing we've worked on yet, but we're definitely planning on a new record. So the next step is going to be to write a few new tunes, or at least sift through, you know, batches of other of members' songs and see if we want to pull out some of our own individual originals and reinterpret something through the Derangers filter. But preferably, I think, would be for us to get together and write collaboratively, because that's kind of what I think when I think of us as a band. I feel like we sort of expressed ourselves most truly when we wrote together, instead of bringing my songs or Aaron's songs or Chris's songs to the mix and just sort of playing them as a band. I have no problem with that approach either, but I just think we're a little bit more pure in our expression when we write together. So
nice.
I like that.
So how much of the Derangers stuff that we know and love was written collaboratively, and how much, like, can you say, like...
Yeah, most, like... Well, there's three records.
Yeah.
Everything we wrote on the first two records pretty much was collaborative. I think the song We Stay High and Lonesome I might have wrote myself. That was maybe like the first time I brought a song completely finished to the band. But everything else on those first two records was written as a band. And then the Pawpaw Patch, the third record, was all almost stuff that was brought from disparate corners into the middle. And then this last thing we did last year, the Barbaric Cultural Practices, there's only, I think, two originals on there, maybe two originals and a jam.
Yeah.
And those were collaborative as well. So, we've come back to... We think we all collectively made the realization that that we love writing together, and that when we can, we should.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a weekend retreat out to my parents' cottage in like 2000 and 2009, maybe 2008, where we holed up for a couple of days and wrote. And if we could dig out some of the documents from that session, there might be some kernels there that'll evolve into something. So yeah, that's the plan for the Derangers for the next while. I'd love to make, you know, have something in the can by the end of this winter.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's impossible. I've got some stuff that takes me out of town again, and we've got a little tour as a band in April. But it would be nice if, you know, before the snow is totally gone, if we couldn't have something in the can, and that'll be the goal at least.
Yeah. Your songwriting, was it different writing songs, knowing that they weren't going to be Derangers songs for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think sometimes having a project to write for can be a catalyst all in and of itself.
Right.
So knowing that there's a certain style that's required, like, I think that my solo show almost evolved. The idea of doing performing solo and without the band, as the idea evolved 10 years or more ago, was more a result of writing songs that didn't have a place within the band, you know.
Right.
Being in the band,
you still had songs coming, but
songs were coming out, but they're clearly not even appropriate to bring to the band.
Okay.
You know, just trying to. As I get older, I think I try to let things flow through me a little bit more easy, with maybe being a little less critical of them as they happen, and then if they don't work in the long run, trying to maybe like remold or modify or adjust them to work, instead of just throwing them out wholesale because they didn't happen to hit me in all the right places.
Yeah.
And as I do that, I find that I write songs in more different genres and styles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, as that sort of process evolves, I started to realize as it evolved that I needed an outlet for these songs, or else they're just going to sit on the shelf. And, that was liberating, I guess, because it started to make me realize I can write whatever kind of song I want.
Yeah.
The next major, I think, breakthrough songwriting flurry I had was when I started the band in Oklahoma, the F54. Because, it gave me that thing. It gave me that purpose to write for. It's like, oh, this is a Western swingy kind of bluegrassy band.
Yeah.
I could write all sorts of tunes for that, you know, and that got me, that got me fired up to write again. And, so that was, it's definitely interesting how what you have on your plate can actually dictate what music comes out of you.
But, the new record is kind of a good example of that. It's pretty diverse. I mean, there's some pretty rock and electric stuff, and then there's some like pretty solo acoustic kind of stuff on it as well.
Yeah, I'd say even mostly it's kind of rock and stuff. That was the idea, was to make it a really guitar record.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be, you know, guitars, a little banjo maybe here and there. You know, I kind of felt like no fiddle. I don't want any fiddle on this record.
Oh, yeah?
That's probably the first thing I've done in a long time, didn't have any fiddle on it. And I just said, I want this to be kind of, if people have to define it, I'm hoping that, you know, a bunch of people will put it in the rock box, you know, that was kind of the hope. Cause I think most of those songs were not written as rock songs. They might've sort of become them at some point in their evolution.
Yeah.
But most of those songs were written as real sort of pure hillbilly kind of music, you know? And so, I really wanted to try and take this record somewhere a little more rocking. And I think we accomplished that. I do think that the hardest part of that record was sequencing it so that it didn't make people go, what am I listening to? What kind of record is this? Cause this is, like you say, it's all over the map, but, I think I found a sequence there that at least flows in a way that doesn't irk you too much.
No, I like it. I think it's a nice little journey, as Howard would say. Like, it, you know, it takes you from one place to another and then back again. And
that's what most you can hope for. So awesome.
So are you gonna like do some shows and support this thing? I mean, I know you did the shows at times there, and that was a lot of fun.
What I really want to do right now is I've got to take this next little window while I'm home to absolutely complete my Kickstarter obligations to all those people
who helped
me get it off the ground. And some people have been taken care of. I think maybe you're one of those.
Yeah, I got this right there.
You got what you need. But there's still a bunch of like stuff that I haven't put in people's hands. And all the American donors haven't even got a physical CD because I've I'm going to do a batch on either side of the border, blah, blah, blah. But what I'd really like to do is, once I've met all those obligations, is I'd like to take a few months to shop it around and see if I can get some help from somebody.
I know this label called Dollar Tone that might sign you. I don't know if you've heard of it.
They're too busy.
you don't fit the criteria anymore.
I did hand that label off to my friend Shauna Cooper in Guelph, Ontario. And, she's really done quite a few great things with it while I've been away from it. But I definitely get the sense that Shauna's not quite sure where she wants to go with things. So I'd like
to take it back.
What's that?
Maybe you're going to take it back.
I might end up with it back. Stranger things have happened, but I don't know. We'll see. I also can't really ever imagine working in this business without Shauna to some degree. She's always been, we've always been co-conspirators. And so, but she may want to step back from it a little. We'll just see what happens. But right now, I'm kind of thinking more about other markets, you know, where it seems I'm doing most of my touring right now with Gordy, and it happens to be mostly Europe and the UK.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wouldn't mind pushing at Germany and pushing at the Netherlands and Belgium, you know, pushing at Scandinavia and just seeing what might happen if I had some people behind me in those markets.
I got connections in Germany. Maybe my connection's even listening. You know, we can, we'll see what we can do for you.
It's entirely possible.
Blue Rose Records, I met the guy who runs that.
Oh,
so,
cool. You know, wow, that's no small bean.
All right, why don't you play another song for us, and we'll remind people again, 204-474-6610. We're trying to get a new transmitter for the station. Ours is way past its best before date, and we've been holding it together as much as we could, but it is time, and it's a big expense that we can't just dole out for, so we need some help. So every dollar that you donate this year is going towards that, and we are very grateful for any donation that you can make. Helps us get towards that goal, and we'd love to hear from you. You can go to umfm.com and click on the donate link, or give our fine smooth operators a call at 204-474-6610.
Yeah, a transmitter. That seems like a fairly important part of a radio station's mandate. It's literally, your donations are literally bringing this music to you, ladies and gentlemen. Standing down by the water, watching the current spill. Every leaf and every twig of this life I'm living. Where every rock's a building block, and every breath is wrestled. Oh, come the day when all our tears are gathered in one vessel. Standing down by the crossroads, the devil's by my side. He wants me to trade my peace of mind, but all I got left is pride. Where life is fast and traffic's hard, and every thought's a mess. Oh, come the day when all our tears are gathered in one vessel. How can we face the future when the past is vandalized? Unless we look into ourselves, how can we criticize? When thoughts like love and thoughts like hate meet headlong on a trestle. Oh, come the day when all our tears are gathered in one vessel.
on clay or put me on grass. Put me to bed cause you'd put me on my ass. Took me to school but I never had class. Shame on me. I don't know why, but I used to know how to fix the brakes in my 64 Impala. Now I park in a runaway lane. Shame on me. Shame on me. I had a job and then I got fired. I couldn't face you, baby, so I lied. Tried to hide in a bar downtown. Shame on me. I got to know all the domino hives. Wasted days losing money by the fives. Now I sleep in a dirty motel. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. Met a gal in a taffeta gown. She's on a tribe from the other side of town. Making their way by the light of the sun. Shame on me. I got a gun and a faith to defend. Pick a side, hurry, get under the tent. If you won't break, then you can get bent. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me.
Wow, very nice. You got my attention with that first part sir.
I knew I would.
I was wondering whether you were going to pick it up and sing into it. Does that only work when you have the banjo?
Well, I could have done that with the guitar, too, but I kind of got hooked on playing little, like, sort of skeleton of the chords.
Yeah,
that one I just sort of do as I feel it. Sometimes it's totally a cappella. Sometimes it's
nice.
Accompaniment. Yeah.
That was a Willie P. Bennett song we heard off the top there, One Vessel. Man, I got shivers during that. Thank you very much for doing that.
Right on. What a great song.
So good. I know you don't have a lot of time here, Jackson. I appreciate you spending your time with us. You asked if I had any requests, and I wanted to... there's a song I want to hear, and I think my memory is not very good, but I think it's also the song that a good friend of ours likes to hear. I know she'd kill me if she knew I was saying this, but our friend Georgina Norris, I don't know if she's listening, but she's been a bit of a supporter of what you do.
That's a bit of an understatement.
She's just the kindest, most generous, kookiest lady there is. And I know she's a bit of a fan.
Yes, yeah, that could be said. What a wonderful lady.
Does she not love Crystal as much as I love Crystal?
Oh yeah, well, she did ask me to play that one at the CD release. I'm happy to play that.
Is that
one.
Something that can happen?
Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure. Let me find out where I put my capo. There it is. Yeah, cool. This is this song. Man, I don't know where this one came from, you know? They say something about your writers versus catchers, right? It's like there's two types of songwriters. Well, this one I caught for sure. Let me get that in tune there. My soul is an old leaky basement. Regret is a meaningful word. Try to muster a luster from the concrete of memory. Once it's poured and it's set and it's cured, morals don't seem to mean nothing when you're thinking on making the scene. Praying on teens, laying beatings on queens. What I did just came naturally. And I met some with doom in their future. And I met some with power and grace. I met one named Crystal Tornado, twisted, who laid me completely to waste. It started out roses and rainbows, but it soon became briar and hail. Soda pop sweet on occasion, but mostly bitter as India pale. She drained all the life from my body. I was her little puppet to play. She led me to strife and a beggarly life, and then drove all my loved ones away. She never cared much to have me, but she couldn't bear setting me free. Pure evil distillate, her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me. On the street down in Houston, everything that I owned was my last. I got low when the bottle was empty. I got high with some kind ones that passed. Stayed with some fellas in Utah, shared stories of squatting a wife. Each one of us hitched to the same crooked bitch. She's hot and cold, she's quick with a knife. She's like a poisonous arrow flung from a place you can't see. Soft as a thistle, her name was Crystal. She turned her pistol on me. She came to my bedroom this morning, all twitchy and wanting her way. And I may survive to the end of this drive, but I'll probably arrive DOA. The old leaky basement is flooding, but there's one day we're all born to pay. Though I may be dying, I still can't help but pine for the crystal that made me this way. Well, she never cared much to have me, she couldn't bear setting me free. Pure evil distillate, her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me. Pure evil distillate, her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me.
Oh, what a song. That's from your solo album, Down in Oklahoma,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's just me by myself.
And you didn't set out to write that song? It just kind of happened?
Totally.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. I can tell
that
you
that sounds
exactly
like one of those songs that you'd spend a lifetime because it's so good.
I don't know where it came from. I remember what I was doing. I was like laying a flagstone patio or walkway and putting these rocks down, making them fit together and not thinking at all about the job, just like having these lines just sort of like, and rhymes, right? Because it's so much about rhyme. Yeah. And they just kept coming to me and I had to take a break and go write stuff down and go back and lay a few more stones and go write down another line. And honestly, I think that day I had 85% of it done, and then maybe I tweaked a couple of things out of that. Yeah.
Madness. I hate you. I could spend the rest of my life trying to write a song. It would never be like that. That's amazing.
Well, thanks, man.
Thank you, Jackson Haldane. I think not only are you one of my favorite musicians around town, but you're a hell of a good guy. All the great things that you do, just being part of the community and supporting so many others and supporting us here today, it's great to have you down here, and I really appreciate who you are and what you do.
Thanks, Jeff. Likewise, I mean, we couldn't do what we do without you guys doing it.
I'm pretty sure
you
could do it, but
we could do it. There just wouldn't be as many people listening. I think if I had one last thing I could say is just that people out there support this. Everywhere I go, all over the world, the one sort of unanimous thing that our city has a reputation for is its music. There's this whole what the heck is up with Winnipeg thing that happens everywhere I go. Why so many good musicians from Winnipeg? And I don't know what it is. I say it's isolation and the cold, and there's no shortage of tribute needs to be paid to our local community boosters like radio and other media. But in particular, I just love what our local radio stations do, and I think that everyone should support it. So however you can, call in, give us some money, come down, show us your talents, whatever you can do.
Exactly right.
Just be part of it and show your appreciation, and we'll keep this thing moving along.
Absolutely. You mentioned before you're touring with Gordy. Gordy Ten Trees, of course, is who you're talking about. I know you guys have a show coming up, right?
We do, November 10th at November 11th. November 11th at
time. It's going to start late, though, right?
Yeah, it won't be an early show. It's
good,
gonna
I have a house concert that day, so I'm going to come. I'm going to try to come after.
Yeah, we're double billing with Leaf Rapids, too, so we'll probably be playing.
Oh, I don't
later.
Need to see Leaf Rapids. Who needs to see them?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
They're not that good.
No.
I'm just kidding. I mean,
she's got a good voice and
love
all,
Leaf Rapids.
And she writes really well and can really play, and they're really awesome people. But, I mean, other than that,
you've seen the quilts and the clothes that she makes? Them.
Yeah, there's that, too. Yeah, I know.
But. Handsome people, too. Yeah. Yeah, they're not really good at it. But speaking of Gordy, we got a bunch of stuff to give away on this here show. I've amassed a box of CDs that we're trying to get rid of. If you pledge, you get to take your pick out of the box. And one thing that I have in the box, actually, is a Gordy Ten Trees CD. His latest, Less Is More, is in there.
Cool.
Do you have a favorite off that? I think I want to play a song off that and encourage people to maybe choose that off the list.
I have a couple favorites off there. I do think his song, Somebody's Child, is pretty poignant and heavy. His wife ran the Boston Marathon and then finished 9 minutes before the bombs went off.
Wow.
And they had to, like, scramble to get back to their hotel, and it was like they were shutting off streets as they were walking past. And it was guys with machine guns. And so he climbed into bed and started reflecting upon how close a call that had been, and that turned into that song. So that one always sticks in with me.
It's one of many things that you can choose with your pledge to this year program, and thanks again, Jackson. We do hope you'll drop by again sometime soon, and hope you have a great rest of your day. Here's something from Gordy Ten Trees on Tell the Band to Go Home. Give us a call, 204-474-6610.
And I knew I was there. Out on Clyde Lane, there's a poet's lair. Stuck on lost words or a melody line. Trying to sell out your town, you better catch them in time. Trying to sell out your town, you better catch them in time. Oh, catch them in time. Across the longest bridge,
trading everything for life on the road. Oh, life on the road. Once had a girl, once had me. Woke in the morning talking family. Hold every moment for as long as you breathe. Never let your dream die, just set it free. Never let your dream die, just set it free. Oh, set it free. Be cruel and kind. Somebody's child blew up the finish line. Thought I lost my everything, including my mind. Thank God for mercy, you gotta catch it in time. Thank God for mercy, you gotta catch it in time. Oh, catch it in time.
Oh, that is terrific. That is Gordy Tentrees, and you can catch him at the Times Changed on November 11th, Remembrance Day, along with Jackson and along with Leaf Rapids. That is going to be a pretty great show. And we also have something coming up at the Sunset Saloon that night. And I have some news about a Sunset Saloon addition that is just, it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit these days. And perhaps, I didn't expect this to be happening. Maybe I'll tell you about that after a short break. That was Gordy, by the way, from his latest record, Less Is More. That is in the box, ready to be taken away. If you have pledged or if you want to pledge, just go over to telebandagohome.com. Click on the Music Angels page, and right near the bottom, there's a link to the prize list. And all you have to do is surf through there. The minute you figure out what you want, you let me know or let one of our smooth operators out there know. And I cross it off the list. I used to sit around and try to make things fair. And after the Pledgerama, I'd put everything together. And last year, it broke me. So this year, it's truly first come, first serve. If there's something you want, get your pledge in now. 204-474-6610. Surf on over to telebandagohome.com and look at the Music Angels page. And pick your choose off the list, and we'll set it aside for you. And when you do pledge, by the way, I'll play a song for you, any song you want to hear. And we'll get to some of those and Big Sunset Saloon news after a couple, just after a minute and a bit. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Tell the band to go home, 204-474-6610.